at the crop.
Welcome to the 52nd edition of the Gooner Podcast as we begin to warm up for yet another season. We're recording this on the Monday evening after Arsenal's traditional opening season fixture away to Barnet, a resounding 4-0 win which saw most of those players who were not on World Cup duty put in an appearance alongside our two new signings. This podcast is sponsored by
Vision Sports Publishing.
It's the other one this week.
I'm not GoonerShirts.com.
GoonerShirts.com.
And the Hampstead Village Boys.
GoonerShirts.com, the premier website for all your Arsenal t-shirt needs. My name is David Udo and I'm filling the host chair for this evening because its usual resident, Joe Broadfoot, is currently on the other side of the world. If you're listening to this, Joe, as we know you will be as you've agreed to edit this, we hope you're enjoying your break. Now to introduce this evening's panel, and it's a bit of a collector's item, as for the first time since January 2008, we have the original lineup from the days when we began recording these podcasts. So first up, it's hello to the man who, at the request of Arsenal Football Club and most of the East Upper, has been forced to move his season ticket because he doesn't get along with his neighbours, Mr. Steve Ashford.
Good evening, viewers.
Is he really?
Yes, yes,
we haven't mentioned the World Cup yet, Kev.
Secondly, concert promoter, marathon runner, and I have to caveat this as someone who works for a Murdochian company. I quote, sometime bitch of Rupert Murdoch, other television stations are available, Mr. Mark Ollington.
Hello there, and do you know what? You're better than Elton Wellesby.
I love Elton Wellesby.
I do.
Shut up, bitch.
You've got that Wellesby kind of S there to you, it's very nice.
And at last, and by no means least, we're not sure whether he's calling London or Berlin his home these days, one of the most travelled men on the planet, celebrity stalker and part-time culture club collaborator, Mr. Don Sebastiano.
Oh, so easy on that.
Part-time Arsenal fan.
All right, hello, I'm a part-time Arsenal fan.
Okay, guys, going to our first subject and the question that's on everyone's lips. Our captain, Cesc Fabregas, and first and foremost, should he stay or should he go, Mark Ollington?
Why, what's happened?
Should he stay or should he go? I don't know if you've noticed in the media.
Has there been some transfer speculation about our captain?
Well, the thing is, I only ever read transfer links on the Arsenal Football Club official website, and there's been no news of this, but apparently the gutter press are reporting that FC Barcelona from Spain apparently wish to make an approach for Arsenal's captain. How do you stand on that?
A disgrace. If that's true, and I can't believe that Barcelona, a fine example of a football club who have no sponsors, who are there doing stuff for UNICEF, they're a fine example, the pinnacle to every club looks up to. Surely they would not tap a player.
Oh, God.
Surely they would not do that kind of stuff. Surely they wouldn't get all their players go on and on and on for the whole fucking World Cup to try and persuade him to join their club.
They're a scale club. They're more than a club. You wouldn't expect that kind of behaviour, would you, Steve Ashford?
I thought we were going to sing the Clash song.
Look, we were doing that in the break, when the food arrives. Unbelievable. Amateurs. Right. What do you make of Barcelona's antics over the last 6 weeks, 2 months?
Same as everyone else. So I think they're a complete and utter bunch of
Ashley Cole
cunts, basically. Give my friends. You know, they've been destabilising him for the last 2 years, 3 years, as long as he's been at Arsenal, to be honest. We know sooner or later he is going to go back. We were hoping it's going to be later. But I must admit, I do admire Arsenal's stance. Basically, fuck off, you Spanish wankers.
Basti, how come we've suddenly become a feeder club for Spain's bigger teams with Alexander Kleb, Thierry Henry, and now our captain set to depart for sunny shores?
Well, according to today's Evening Standard, Guardiola has said,
I think Cesc Hernandez cost a lot. We want him to join, but if Arsenal want to negotiate, we won't come.
So they're not coming, whatever that means.
Barcelona are not coming over Cesc. I like the way that the English press are making us out to be the bad guys in all this. You know, they should be lucky that we've got Fabregas playing for us. Every newspaper report, poor old Barcelona, we're not going to sell Fabregas to poor old Barcelona.
I'll tell you
what. We refuse to accept their paltry, pathetic...
Wait, I haven't finished yet.
How terrible are Arsenal?
I haven't finished yet, Steve.
Hell. It's outrageous.
But also, Guardiola went on to say, they don't want to listen to offers and they are not putting the player on the market. One thing that is for certain is that we will not go mad trying to sign him. So they're not going mad trying to sign. They're playing hard to get now. They do all this fucking shit. Now they go, oh, well, we're not going to really try too hard.
The thing that made me laugh was Carlos Puyol. He of the ridiculous haircut, Carlos Valderrama's cunt double, coming out today saying Arsenal are disrespecting Cesc Fabregas by not fulfilling his wish of letting him go back to
Puyol
Barcelona.
Puyol actually was reported for having thrush recently because he's an irritating cunt.
Indeed.
Other joke books are available.
I do think that if you're going to go to that effort, that trouble, at least stump up the Barry cash. What's the biggest deal offer so far? 25 million? 29 million?
29 million with a view to extending it to 33.
If you're that bothered, I don't care how strapped for cash they actually are, do a decent offer. If it's 50 million, do you know what? Even I might say, let him go.
And I'll tell you what, if we do eventually give in, I suppose they come up with 50 or 60 million, I do not want 10 million now, 5 million next year, 5 million the year after that. Because they still owe us 12 million for Clevernet Henry, apparently. So why the hell are we even entertaining talking to
them? I'll give Real Madrid their due. They tapped up Ronaldo for 3 years, but they got, you know, United got £80 million in one bank transfer.
Yeah, but that's because it's United as well. See, people don't take us seriously, I think. We're a bit too Mr. Nice Guy and a bit too kind of... I think we need to get a bit nasty. And I reckon also there's 4 years left on Cesc's
2015
contract,
of course, obviously, so, the way that Barcelona are playing this, of course, he was held down with lit matches under his fingernails as he was forced to sign a £110,000
contract. No, he's an adult. He signed a contract. He's with Arsenal for 5 years. We should hang on to him for at least another year, get another good year out of him, maybe two, and then we can still sell him for double the money we'd sell him for now, probably, because by the time, in 2 years' time, he'll probably be worth 100,000, 200 million squillion.
Make him see out the next 5 years of his contract, then he'll be 28. And, you know, that's when, and then fine, free transfer, brilliant, done. Absolutely.
However, a question I put to you, Mark Ollington.
Yes.
If Cesc Fabregas were to stay, do you think we would continue to get 100% from a player who obviously, and has gone on the record as saying he wants to be somewhere else?
That is the million-dollar question, which is why you asked it. So I'm going to try and answer that. I think he's a pro. And I do think if it was one more year, and Wenger made promises with him it's one more year, then yes, we would. But if we held him over the proverbial barrel and said, you're not going anywhere, then we would see him suffer. What we don't want is Adebayor and Mark II.
There's a voice of dissent from Bastien in the corner.
He's not Adebayor, he's a completely different individual. And as soon as he walks on that pitch, as Arsenal captain, he'll give 100%. That's it. Well, no question about that.
Sure
he's not going to moan and whinge. He will off-season. Once the game's over, once the season's over, he might whinge and moan. But Cesc, I think, is a bit more like Wenger, like that, mentally. He's a bit more old-fashioned. He'll say, I've signed this contract, I'm going to honour it.
Well, should we ask ourselves, go back a bit, why does he want to go? I know he's Catalan, wants to go back to Barcelona. That's where he's from. He's made no secret he wants to go back there eventually. But we haven't exactly done anything to make him stay, have we, by signing a decent player for him to play alongside.
Well, that's true.
By signing some marquee players, by signing a keeper, centre-half, defensive midfielder, someone to play alongside
this
him.
This is July
whereby
the 19th, the night is young, Steve.
Whereby we might even actually sign some players that might make him think he's got a chance of winning a trophy with Arsenal.
There's still 48 days of the transfer window remaining. You know, if we, out of those 48 days, if on 3 days we sign players... You know, I think we'll all be quite happy. So that's only a player every 16 days.
I'm going to have to go on holiday again, because every time I go on holiday and lie on a beach, that's when we signed Bergkamp. Yeah. I was lying on the beach and I saw someone else's Sun newspaper. I was like, it just said Bergkamp Arsenal. I went, oh. And that evening, I went back to the hotel, CNN. Dennis Bergkamp was signed for Arsenal. I was like, I was leaping around the room. I go, yes! So what we need is me to go on holiday and then we'll sign someone good.
Well, I'm sure Cesc would be as pleased.
That's what I call logic.
Cesc would be as pleased as anyone. If he picked the paper up and read that we'd sign, you know, someone equivalent to Bergkamp now, he might think to himself, fuck, why do I want to go anyway?
Well, how old's Cesc? 23?
Yeah.
Right, okay. I reckon he's got at least a year or two at Arsenal. He'll be peaking 25, right?
Yeah.
So he can go and play 5 years at Barcelona, win everything. He can get the best of both worlds. If he says, I think if I was Cesc now, I'd say, listen, Arsenal fans, I'm going to spend one more year or two more years here. I'm going to do that because I love Arsenal. I'm an Arsenal fan myself. I'm the captain. Everyone will love him. And then he can still go and have the greatest fucking time in the world. You know, but remember, Henri, right? A lot of this is the Spanish press, Marca, people like that. They were basically just Barcelona's little mouthpiece. And they just... it was 7 years of Henri's coming, Henri's coming, Henri's coming. Finally, once he was, like, burnt out, he went over there. Mm. But Cesc, I mean, they will all put him in a Barca shirt. The Barca players are putting him in a Barca shirt. But see how quickly he ripped it off.
And I'll tell you what, did you see which player was the one? Because I mean, I watched that quite closely. he was trying to get that shirt off, and the minute they put it on him, Reina, Liverpool, was the one that was trying to stop him getting
Pepe Reina, who then...
Isn't that referring to something to do with the World Cup?
Can you imagine? The great Pepe Reina. If that had been Torres, they stuck a Barcelona shirt on, how would he have felt with that?
Pepe Reina, of course, who went on took the microphone to his mouth and announced the future of Barcelona, the future of Spanish football. Of course, it's none of Pepe Reina's fucking business. I'd like to congratulate him on his World Cup winner's medal and all of the minutes that he put in on the pitch. A couple of last points.
Sorry, David. You can't see this. This is an audio podcast, not a video one. Don't you think David's a spitting image of Pepe Reina? Look at that.
Not only that, wasn't there a bit of resentment there? The fact that he's got a World Cup winner's medal and you haven't.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, there's no point. You put him down. He was there. All right, he played 20 minutes. So what? He was there.
The saddest thing is, with hair, I look scarily most like Manuel Almunia. So we'll move on from that.
Before we move on, we haven't summed this up. One last thing about Cesc.
I've got two more things about Cesc. Should he still be the captain, Steve Ashford?
No, but I'll go ask this one, David, very quickly. Sorry, I know your host. Eyebrows. We haven't mentioned eyebrows, have we?
No.
This is the key thing why he won't be as good this season. I don't know if you know, during the World Cup, he now plucks his eyebrows like all the other Spanish players from Barcelona do. He was going to come back to us.
But more importantly, can I just say something? Can I just say something? When you said, should he be Arsenal captain, Steve Ashford, you were just like Alan Partridge then. We've got Alan Partridge and Steve Ashford.
I tell you, farmers.
Is that what you
farmers,
how to host
you don't
a
like
radio
outsiders,
show?
Do you?
That's how you learn how to host a radio show, watching Alan Partridge.
To be honest, I think that would be detrimental to his. I'd still keep him as captain. To actually not give him the move that he kind of, you know, asked Arsenal that he
in light
it.
Of that,
he has to stay and we take the captaincy away from him.
In light of that, Steve, what are his programme notes in the Blackpool game going to read?
It's like James Patrick.
Let's speak Blackpool.
Programme notes in the Blackpool
game. How can he skirt around the issue, though? Seriously, Bastis.
It was a really tough match at Liverpool, but we got the points. Now, let's beat Blackpool.
We will all be taken for
He's the Arsenal captain. What's he meant to say? Well, anyway, it's all doctored. It's not like he really says it anyway,
You think he'll avoid the issue? You think he'll avoid the issue of, I've spent the entire summer flirting with a foreign club. I've spent most of the World Cup sat on the bench plucking my eyebrows.
No, but he's not flirting. He's not done anything. He's not actually done anything.
Barcelona,
there's been all this press, right? All he's done is gone to the Villa Bianca for a meal and then gone to the World Cup. The World Cup. And he's come and he's been very honourable about it because the whole time he said, you know what? They interviewed him afterwards when he won it. He said, I'm going to have 3 days after having played in the World Cup. Having won the World Cup, I'm going to have 3 days off and then I'm going to think about it. He said, what about your future? And that's bloody ITV commentators. And people say, I know it's a bit cheeky to ask you after having just won. The day he's won the World Cup, they're asking him about that.
Basti, are you a subscriber to Arseblog? Are you a subscriber to Arseblog?
I would never belong to a club that would have me as a member.
Thank you, Mr. Wilde.
Or not least one with Arsenal.
That was the Groucho Marx.
It was Groucho Marx. Pierre, there are pictures on the internet that will be in tomorrow's Arseblog, 20th of July, showing Cesc Fabregas today signing Barcelona shirts outside the Camp Nou. Moving away.
Is that a definite?
That's a true story. I've seen the pictures. There are pictures of him signing a Barcelona shirt.
Was that when he was 16 on his way out to the...
No, it's this season's Barcelona shirt.
It's with the small
It's called Photoshop.
It doesn't really matter when he's posed for them. He's posed for these... Well, he hasn't posed for them. He's been filmed doing it.
Yeah, but you know, he's only signed a shirt. Big deal. I've got a John Radford shirt signed Arsenal 1971, signed by John Radford. He doesn't play for Arsenal, does he?
No, he did when he signed it.
He did it a couple of seasons ago outside the Bank of France.
Well, tell you what, Bishop Stortford Football Club can do you for tapping up in
and
that case.
And to be fair, Sean Pertwee signed me Doctor Who figure. That was his dad, and he still signed my figure.
I don't want him to leave. I'm just telling you what I know.
No,
right.
We should be 100% behind Cesc. He's Arsenal captain, right? And until he leaves. 100% behind Cesc.
And you know what the worst thing will be, though? If he goes towards the end of August, let's just say 25th, 26th, they come up with a cash bid, 60 million, all the rest of it's just bollocks. Well, that gives us 3 days to find a replacement.
1st of September 2010, will Cesc Fabregas be at Arsenal Football Club? Basti?
Yes.
Mark Ollington?
Yes.
Steve Ashford?
Yes.
And me, David Udo? That's a yes. Moving on and away from Cesc Fabregas, as much as I want to avoid
after all that, he's staying.
Of course he'll stay. But there's no way Wenger will sell him. There's no way Wenger will sell him.
The key factor is, it's been this summer story, and another key factor is that once again, we're there on our hands and knees, taking it up the arse in these Spanish clubs every single year. Yeah. I'm sick of it, Steve.
Yeah, I am, totally.
Well, I'll tell you what, if we win some fucking trophies, it won't happen.
What about war with Spain?
That's not true,
is it?
What
about war with Spain?
Why don't we go to war with Spain and have done with it?
Did someone mention trophies?
Going back to your point, when Vieira was captain fantastic, winning invincible season, doubles, what have you, it was still the same thing every single year. We won trophies, we won the double, Overmars Petit went, we won league after league, Henri went, it doesn't matter.
Do you think it's the weather?
I think it's the fact.
Nosotros hablamos español, España es la perla de la Mediterránea.
That means Spain is the pearl of the Mediterranean, and we all speak Spanish.
And it rains over here.
Yeah, it is pretty. I mean, culturally, it's a pretty cool place to go and live there. Food's great, gorgeous women, nice, sexy beaches, all like everything, you know, chilled out siestas, you know.
Why would you want to go, really?
It's pretty good. Yeah, I lived there for a couple of years. I recommend it to anyone.
I've lived in Ballon.
Much rather live in Ballon.
Okay, so moving on away from Cesc Fabregas, as much as I tried to avoid it, as ultimately international football is pointless, we have recently had the 2010 World Cup. In case any of you are wondering, we're making our editor Kev, who has a heart condition, every time the World Cup is mentioned, we're forcing him to blow his vuvuzela, and that's not a euphemism, kids. We're forcing him to blow his vuvuzela. Kev, of course, having spent 3 weeks in South Africa during the World Cup, his World Cup diary available as a PDF from onlinegooner.com by the time you listen to this. Steve, what did you think of the Arsenal players on show during the World Cup?
Blimey, that's a good question. You hit me with that one. The Arsenal players on show. Well, Fabregas didn't play, did he?
Well, he set up the winning goal in the final.
Every time he came on, Spain were losing. He came on and turned it round.
Bentner didn't play much, did he?
He scored two goals for Denmark.
Gallus was rubbish.
Correct. Van Persie
was outstanding. If you watch every goal France conceded, you can put the blame for every goal on Abu Diaby.
Even our potential transfer targets were rubbish. Schwarzer made more mistakes during the World Cup than any other keeper.
I thought Van Persie was the least impressive. He just strutted around, walking about, look at me, and he didn't do a bloody thing.
I just thought the Arsenal players on show not one of them did himself justice.
And the best you can say about
the World Cup is that Theo Walcott, you know, by virtue of not being there, and his reputation in half.
Without turning this into the Cesc Fabregas show, I've got to say, every time Cesc came on, Spain was struggling, or it was nil or drawing, and he came on, suddenly, zhush.
Okay, brilliant. We've done Cesc Fabregas then.
I know, but he played very well in the World Cup.
He won a World Cup winner's medal, which isn't bad.
Yeah. And he dedicated it to Arsenal, incidentally.
Going away present
at all. He loves us.
But I would have preferred it if he'd have said, this medal is for Arsenal, and I love playing for Arsenal, rather than I have loved my time at Arsenal.
I am a Arsenal captain, and I like to play for Arsenal.
He did use the past tense.
Yeah, but was that the press? No, look, you say that.
Yeah.
You read these things in the papers, and they put has or have been or whatever. They twist it, because you know, anything like the Daily Mail, the Sun, that lot, they love nothing more than stirring it up, and they will get negative on anyone's arse. So I wouldn't be surprised if they just, you know.
Right.
Basti, did anyone catch your eye as a potential Arsenal signing during the World Cup?
No.
Ozil.
Bastian Schweinsteiger.
Bastian Schweinsteiger. What a great shout.
Schweinsteiger to sort of go boss the midfield.
And who's the Stuttgart winger that played for Germany in the semi-final against Spain? No, the winger, the left winger.
Kedira.
Kadira.
Well, Müller was great as well.
I thought he was fantastic. Central midfield player.
Give me Schweinsteiger, I'll be very
happy. Philipp Lahm, Schweinsteiger, Mertesacker, Ozil.
Just the German team.
Adler, the goalkeeper.
All of those fucking Germans were fantastic.
They were like it. They're all 22, 23 years of age.
And do you know what? We won't sign fucking one of them.
No. Well, Bayern Munich aren't going to let Schweinsteiger or Lahm go, are they?
Apparently Bremen have said that because he's made it clear he's not going to sign a one-year contract, Mesut Ozil. They are going to listen to offers for him.
And he's got 1 year left in his contract.
1 year left in his contract.
Why can't we get him?
Why don't we just go in there?
Do we need him though? He's another 5 foot 8 inch inside forward. We need him. We can stick with Arshavin, Rizitsky, and Nasri.
To keep Fabregas happy.
Eduardo's going, he's on his bike, we're not getting Joe Cole. Get him, why not? Better than nothing, surely.
Yeah, like, absolutely. Well,
have you
can't be worse than Thomas Rosicki, can he?
Well, put it this way, he's better than Danielson.
Oh, God, is Danielson staying?
End of.
He plays in a different position.
Oswald for Danielson, do a poll on
plays
the website.
Plays in a different website. Position to
By the way, can I just say, Nicholas Bentner, what the hell's he doing at Arsenal?
I love him. Nicholas Bentner is such an underrated footballer, it's untrue.
Fuck it, in his own lunchtime.
I think that kid's got so much talent.
I like
Barry,
to be honest.
I like Barry.
No,
I love Barry.
No, he's not good.
I love Barry Bender.
We all love Barry Bender.
Barry Bender.
No, get him out of here. He's not good enough.
Barry Bender.
He should be on the bench waiting at a derby, waiting to come on when a proper striker's injured.
Chamack. Mark, the worry viewers, I just thought I'd do that.
Hello, children, and welcome to Arsenal Children's Hour.
Chamack.
Actually, in fairness, that's every Saturday at 3 o'clock, isn't it? Mark, you mentioned youth in Mesut Ozil.
Yes.
The World Cup final featured two Arsenal players brought to the club when they were very young. Robin Van Persie when he was 18, Cesc Fabregas when he was 15. Huh. Is this a vindication of Arsene Wenger's policy of buying young players from abroad?
No.
Fair enough.
2 out of 100 isn't brilliant, is it? Whatever it
Hey, you can't talk about Arsene Wenger during Children's Hour. Tottenham fans will start writing in with salubrious comments.
Talking of kids, is Wilshere going on loan this year? Is he going back to
school? Is Jack with us?
He is.
I love Jack. I want Jack. Jack attack.
How disappointed will you be if our esteemed manager gives him back to Bolton for a year?
He won't. This is why he's letting Eduardo go. So when you all piss and moan that he lets Eduardo go and hasn't bought a replacement, you know, you won't be moaning when Jack Wilshere plays 20
attack,
games.
Attack, Jack.
See, I think he's going to go. I think he'll get rid of it.
When's Fiji coming back? Aaron Ramsey. Is he almost back?
November. He'll be ready to play football.
He's only got one leg, which means
Wenger will put him in the team in February then.
Actually, on the subject of Aaron Ramsey, staying on the theme of the World Cup. In the final, Holland's tactics were widely castigated by the world, the British media, as being savage, ungainly, awful, everything that's wrong with contemporary football. But are they any worse than that which Arsenal have to put up with at Stoke, Bolton, Blackburn or shit northern clubs? I'll throw it up to the panel.
In a word, no. They were no worse than all of those teams. And we have to put up with that every fucking week. Blackburn, Bolton, Blackpool coming up.
Stoke,
Sunderland, all the time. Spain put up with it one tiny little match and everyone's on their side. Poor old Spain. Those horrible Dutch people. Yeah, Alan Shearer, all the rest of them, all those panels. Alan Hansen.
Alan Cunson.
Oh, all those horrible Dutch people. When it happens to Arsenal every fucking week on Match of the Day, do we get that poor old Arsenal?
They don't like it up them.
So why don't they say that about the Spanish? They don't like it up them. Perfectly legitimate tactics.
You've got to go in there. Shake him about. Don't let him play on the ground.
The Dutch are very lucky just to have the ball at all. For the first 45 minutes, she should have been down to at least 9 men, I think.
And yet, funny that, isn't it?
Why did the Dutch talk like they got teeth in the front of their mouth?
Funny that, but when Taylor and Shawcross broke Arsenal players' legs, no one said they should have been sent off.
They're not that kind of player, though, Steve.
No, exactly.
And we now know that kind of player is evil foreign bastards.
And has to play for Holland.
Evil foreign bastard.
Chamack.
They don't like it.
On the subject of Marouane Chamakh and Laurent Koscielny, the French Paul Basti.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Koscielny. How do you feel about our two new signings?
Oh, I'm over the moon. I'm buzzing because... But to be honest with you, I'm half taking a piss and I'm half not because, you know, I felt buzzing when we got someone called Vieira I'd never heard of as well. And so, who knows, maybe they'll turn into something special, maybe not. I don't know. Let's put it this way. The centre-back can't be any worse than William Gallas or Silvestre. Thank God. A moment's silence, please. Oh, in fact, celebration. Goodbye, Gallas, and goodbye, Silvestre.
I disagree with that.
Fuck off.
No, I disagree with that, Bessie. I mean, Gallas, he might not be a very nice bloke, but he's actually given us some quite good service, to be honest.
Oh, fuck off. He's
last year.
It was great last season.
He was the Jonah in the pack. No. Mate. That's why we've not won anything. Watch us fly. Now he's gone.
It's funny, Jonah. In the last 2 seasons... So he's missed the last quarter of both seasons.
And that's
the minute
he
fell out of the team, we've fallen apart.
He was a Jordan.
And I tell you what, if Koscielny is half as good as Gallas, we'll be all right.
Yeah. Why do you think Chelsea was so quick to get rid of him?
He's not. They weren't that quick. They wanted him to stay.
He's a whinging, miserable.
That's his
moron.
That's his maybe.
He's a great player.
He did threaten to score
an
own goal.
But no, but part of being a great player is being enthusiastic, working for the team. That's all part of it. Just being, bloody, what's his name? Kanu was a great player. But, you know, yeah, if you want a circus clown who can dribble around in the kids' playground. No, like, look what I can do.
Totally.
Look what I can do. Yeah. Gallas did a couple of good things and he scored a couple of good goals. And he went, but his general demeanour,
scoring ratio,
what he did for the club
brilliant.
Was bring it down.
For the first three quarters of our season, him and Tommy V were the best centre back player in the Premier League by an absolute mile.
All right, Silvestre then.
Yeah,
okay.
If Cusione is half as good as Silvestre, fair enough. Steve, that still means we've got issues at the back.
Laurent Cochet is 24 years old. He's obviously French, coming in from the French second division. I mean, the last time we did that was
Pascal Seguin,
which this is what's scaring me.
You also look like.
Yeah. You're just picking bald men now. And I'd like to point out at this juncture, I'm not bald, although my hair is retreating faster than the French army.
But you're not sitting where we are.
He's definitely lying
now. I'm combing it forward from my arse. I personally can't believe that Wenger will start the season with an untried 24-year-old kid who said, you know, I need to bulk up very quickly at Anfield. I can't help but think there's
just 24 being a kid in football.
Cesc
Fabregas is 23.
Is when you're centre half.
No, 24 is just about to peak, I would say.
Centre back's 27, 28.
David, Pepe Reina.
Yeah, but next
I would like to say, if you think that Wenger won't do that, you don't know Wenger very well.
I think he'll buy another centre half.
How old's Van Malen?
He's 24.
There you go.
Captain of Belgium, though.
Yeah, he's 24, so how's it? Why is he not a kid?
A comparatively inexperienced footballer.
In the same way when
said.
Ian Wright started to play professional football, he was 22 years of age, rather than someone that starts assess like they're 16. Right. So people have different periods when they come into the team. I agree with you, David.
Mark,
he's quite inexperienced.
Do you think the summer spending is over?
I hope not.
Bloody well, better not be.
In all, we need a new keeper.
Hasn't started yet, is it?
A little story for you, Dave. As you know, our club tries to get all the cash it possibly can. We have to renew our season tickets by the end of May. So May 31st is deadline day. So I rang up the club on May the 31st thinking, there's no keeper yet. Rang up the box office, bring. Hello, what's the box office here? Said an Irish person. I said, hello. I said, can you guarantee me, if I renew my season ticket, Arsenal will sign a keeper? The woman laughed and hung up. But I wanted to know, because quite frankly...
She hung up on you.
Yeah, but I was being a bit stupid, but I was a bit bored at work. But the point of the matter is that I wasn't going to renew, even though I always kind of was, but part of me didn't want to we got a bona fide, guaranteed, brilliant keeper coming to the club.
And it's now, a bit worrying, isn't it? When you hear Arsene Wenger say as well, that he said he's going to do all these transfer dealings
before
by the start
World
of the World Cup.
Yeah.
Well, he did the two transfers so far. Is that it?
It wonders what makes you wonder what Mad Ivan actually does for his money. You know,
I saw Mad Ivan at Bayern actually.
You look quite similar to that Mad Ivan.
And he was you do actually.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Do you know what? When I grew my beard and started shaving my head, one of my mates told me it looked like Ming the Merciless.
Ming the Merciless works for Sony. He's their business affairs director.
Kirsty the Deathless. Now listen here. We've had a pre-season friendly and we've got a result just come in. Arsenal 4. Barnett, 0.
Hey!
So I just thought I'd say that. It's just coming off the telly printer.
That's enough about hair for one day.
Yeah. Back in the old days.
Did anyone go to Barnett? Anyone go to Barnett?
Yeah, did anyone go to Barnett?
I went to Barnett. I went to Barnett.
What do you reckon?
I love the new shirt. It looked brilliant.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. New shirt. Love the new shirt. We'll definitely win the league with that.
Fring pong, ping pong. Fring pong, badlay all. Fring pong, fring pong, fring pong, fring pong, ping pong, badlay all. For those of you not old enough to remember the Goons, that was a Harry Secombe song from 1958.
Well, we signed someone called Ying Pong Pong Fring Pong.
Anyway, Fring Pong, Fring Pong, Fring Pong, who played number four for us.
Right.
Emmanuel Fring Pong, who's forever going to be known
as
Fring Pong.
What's everyone called Emmanuel?
At the IO.
Have we turned into some sort of dodgy 17th film?
Fring Pong in Lio was good.
All right.
J. Emmanuel Thomas was huge. Absolutely massive.
What was the lineup? Who was?
There was 25 of them.
Was there anyone
two,
like that
there
we'd
two
have heard of?
11 in each half.
Was anyone we'd
and
heard of?
And substitutes in each half as well. Yeah,
did Arshavan play?
Yeah, looks okay.
He played
a bit lazy, usual lazy.
Yeah.
No player that you know played any worse or better than you know how he plays previously.
My understanding was Theo Walcott had quite a good game when he
Theo
came.
Theo Walcott was pants.
Okay.
Got
fair
down,
enough.
Got to the touchline numerous times in the second half. Plonked a high ball over into thin air every time.
So, wait a minute.
Nothing changed. When, one-on-one with the keeper.
Have you ever said Theo Walcott played well? Because you hate Theo Walcott, don't you?
One-on-one with the keeper. Gaping goal, put it wide.
You hate Theo Walcott,
don't you? I'm a striker, Walcott, I don't fucking think.
Do you like Theo Walcott?
No, I don't like him. I love this person. He's probably a lovely fella. Yeah. He's probably a really nice
player. He speaks Ariane. He loves to be from the East.
But as a footballer, he is never going to make it at Arsenal.
He used to come to the world of tattoos, isn't he, as well?
Yeah.
If
he can't get more than one scoring opportunity against Barnet, and if he can't even put a cross in against Barnet to an Arsenal player, what's he going to be like in the Champions League? Mm-hmm. Is he... What?
He might as well against Barcelona. You never
Barcelona?
How'd the two new boys do, Šemák and Koscielny?
All right. I was a bit disappointed to read on the web that, you know, everyone was saying Koscielny needs to bulk up a bit. Okay. He's not a hulking, great, massive lump of a centre-half. But his movement was okay. He looked all right. He got up for a few headers, sold a few dummies. I mean, I don't think he deserved the criticism that a lot of Arsenal blogs gave him. And Šemák looked absolutely brilliant. Loved him. His movement was superb.
Did
his touch was great. No.
He's saving that for the real thing.
He's saving that. But no, it was a good afternoon. Frimpong was a standout.
Frimpong
was a standout player. Simpson,
Jay Simpson got two.
Wilshere looked good first.
And time. Sammy Naz.
But that Barnet game is always a bit of a... I went last season. It's always a bit of a... You can't really take it too seriously, can you?
No, you have good to wait to play some Austrian no-mark team and beat them 6-1 before you can...
Well, we've got Sturm Graz coming up on the 21st of July, which is the day after tomorrow.
Why do we always go to Austria?
They're in there now.
It's calm, it's serene. Wenger knows it. He knows the restaurants. He knows the people. He knows he won't get disturbed.
And it's also part of the season as it pans out, because anyone who knows Arsene Wenger and knows Arsenal could say exactly what's going to happen this season. We go to Austria, we train. We don't sign any players. We play the kids in the Carling Cup. We get knocked out of the Carling Cup in the quarter final. We play the kids in the FA Cup. We get knocked out in the sixth round. We go out in the quarter final of the Champions League or the first knockout stage. We promise and threaten to challenge for the Premiership.
And fall away in
April. We fall away in April and finish fourth.
Hang on a
we
minute.
Sign no players in January. And the same. And this time next year, everyone says it'll be different next season.
Hang on a minute.
And
I don't like the look of this. Why are we playing Legia Warsaw away in a pre-season friendly just 7 days before playing Liverpool away? I mean, going all the way to Poland, I think it's a 3.5-hour flight.
You're going to love this. This was part of the deal that brought Łukasz Fabianski to Arsenal. We play Legia Warsaw in a pre-season friendly at their ground at their discretion.
Is that it?
It's a contractual requirement, that's correct.
Ooh.
You're a fan of knowledge, you are, Dave. I'm very impressed.
Absolutely. Thank you very
and
much.
And I'm impressed really? With me for bringing it up. Because I just noticed it, but I just thought, why the hell would we go all the way out there just a week before playing Liverpool?
Last topic before we break for this particular episode of the podcast. We've got new home and away strips.
Yeah.
They're novelties. We've got a red shirt with white sleeves and we've got a yellow away shirt. What do we think?
Is it? I haven't seen the away
shirt. It's a yellow away shirt.
It's controversial.
It is a little
bit
controversial.
Oh, why? What's
it's
on the
yellow stripes. Yellow pinstripes.
Oh, is it a bit like the waspy one we used?
No, it's yellow with burgundy pinstripes. It looks a bit like Bradford's away kit.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's a bit
Watford,
is it?
It looks all right on a player, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's the sort of shirt you can wear down the pub.
No.
I mean, I've been led to believe that by reading Arsenal.com, it's traditional. You know, for all those years we played with yellow and red current. Yeah.
But it's got to be said, the home kit is, apart from that, fly on the front of it. That looks so out of place because you've got this great 70s looking kit.
Yeah.
And to be fair, also the new crest looks a bit out of place as well. But if it was just the new crest.
Why not just have a cannon on it?
There were those pictures doing the rounds in the summer, weren't there?
They're amazing.
Of a red shirt with white sleeves with a tiny cannon and fly Emirates in little letters.
It was really small there.
And it looked classy. Because Man City do that on their away kit. They've got Fly Etihad in very tiny letters under the badge. Yeah. And it's really classy.
Well, Steve
honest,
and I
think it catches people's eye more than when it's right at the bloody front.
Yeah. Well, here's a hot tip for Gooners, right, who are listening. And I shouldn't say this because Steve's already gone and got his. But I've got one, but it's a bit old now, and the sleeves have gone a bit pink, as they do. Get the 1971 kit if you want something to wear about, because they'll probably run out very quickly, I should think. Because the thing is, the new kit's great, but with that fly Emirates on the front of it, I don't want to walk down the high street with that.
The 71 Toffs kit, or the 71 Retro kit, is exactly the same kit, but with a decent cannon and no fly Emirates.
And made out of pure cotton.
And made out of cotton.
Rather than this kind of crappy material you had.
So
let's
get down there now and buy
get yourself
your
a short
71
sleeve and a long sleeve.
Short sleeve away
and by the way, if Cesc Fabregas says we're all wearing short sleeves, I seem to remember there's a thing at Arsenal that everyone has to wear the same sleeves.
What the captain tells them to, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure I saw a game recently where that didn't happen.
It happened at the end of last season where it got mixed up a bit for the first time in the club's history.
Vic Akers has got one fucking job to do.
That's what he's
Is that what happened? It wasn't the West Brom game, was it?
It was three or four games the end of last season. The old traditions need to go out the window totally. The players are mixing the match.
Well, has someone said something about this? Because I'm not best pleased.
I'm not best
pleased. I noticed that and I thought, no, that you don't do
I'm going to complain to the highest authority.
Do you know who apparently the very, very, very first Arsenal player to break that tradition and threw his toys out the pram and demanded to wear long sleeves?
Let me guess.
William Gallagher.
Sammy Nelson.
No, no. You're on the right lines with cunts, though. Ashley Cole.
Oh, fucking
speed kits.
Oh, I hate that.
And that's it for this edition, Steve. You have to wait till after we've had our Chinese food.
He was booed at Campbell's wedding, wasn't he?
Can I tell you my little kids here?
All you Tottenham fans who are going on about Campbell being a bit, you know, not heterosexual, have a look at his wife, mate. I tell you, she's a bit of all right, isn't she?
So was Barrymore's wife.
Can I tell a quick story about kids?
I want my food, hurry up.
I was reading, because I like to read a very hard, kind of like edgy novel, Frank McClintock's autobiography, True Grit, which I got for £2.
True Grit? Is it called True Grit?
Frank McClintock, which I got off Amazon, £2.
Frank Muir's long-lost brother.
It is indeed. Great autobiography.
Frank Muir from the Essex Talks,
you know, great stuff about this, great stuff about that. When he first joined Arsenal, the team was so bad, and he hated it so much after his housing years at Leicester, they said, what can we do in the dressing room to get it back? He was so terrified by the club's history, by its great tradition. He said, let's change it from the white sleeves and go to an all-red kit.
That was Frank McClintock.
And they listened to him and they said, we'll go to an all-red kit. So for one season, we had that all-red kit.
Yeah.
That was all down to Frank McClintock, according to his autobiography, True Grit. Available on Amazon for £1.99 at the moment.
Yeah?
Yeah.
66, 67.
Correct, Steve. Yeah.
Well, that's it for this edition, guys. So just time for the usual reminder that if you want to email us about anything related to the podcast, including anyone who wants to buy my flat, a one-bedroom flat in Hackney Central, which I'm putting on for £190,000, our address is goonapodcast@gmail.com.
No toilet.
So there we
go. Just lots of hair when he shakes his head. There's lots of hair.
Unbelievable.
Where are you moving to?
Hornsey.
Oh.
Are you moving in with your girlfriend?
I'm moving in with my mate Kinky Steve. We'll get onto that later.
You're moving to a flat with a toilet.
Thanks again to our sponsors, Goonashirts.com.
Goonashirt.com. We got t-shirts of Fabregas, t-shirts of other players. We got t-shirts, Goonashirts.com.
And over to our panel to bid farewells. So that's Steve.
Good evening again.
Mark.
Goodbye.
And Don Sebastiano.
And it's good night from him.
And my name's David Udo. Good night.
La-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-dee, all good friends and jolly good company. Hooray!
Arsene, you gotta let us know. Will Cesc stay or will he go? Will Fabregas toe the line? Or have we seen him the last time? So you gotta let us know. Will Cesc stay or will he go? It's always Spain, Spain, Spain. And it becomes a major pain. We're trying to build a winning team. Then transfers crush our football dreams. So you gotta let us know. Will Cesc stay or will he go? Will Cesc stay or will he go now? Will Cesc stay or will he go now? If he stays, will there be trouble? How can we ever win the double? So you gotta let us know. Will Cesc stay or will he go?